I am excited about being here. I made up my mind that I wasn't missing another one. I had missed last time, and I wasn't missing another one. I give honor to the house and all the anointing that's always here. I don't know if y'all realize that, but that's not everywhere, okay? It's just not. I've been to a few places that I had to bring the anointing with me because it wasn't there when I got there. And when I left, I took it with me. So, I mean, you know. So I give honor to the house and Pastor Lisa and all of those that are here. It is good to see you. You know, I moved to Texas, and that's a long way away from here. You know, a lot have gone on the last couple of years, and it's just good to see some people. It just is. You know, had a lot of relationship with a lot of different people. And when everything shook down a couple of years ago, I said, you know what, let's just keep some of those that are worth it. And this happens to be one of those places. And so I am honored to be here. Yes, I did. If you've seen Facebook, yes, I did roll down the hill. Okay, I really was going to. Listen, you get this much going down in one direction and there's just not much stopping it. I was going to be graceful, though, and I was going to do a drop and roll right there on the asphalt. It was more of a bounce and skid. And so, you know, and they told me I needed to wear the shorts so I could display the damage that was done. But you know what? It's not that big a deal. I covered it all up. Of course, they posted it on Facebook. Now, the picture they posted on Facebook, I'm dying, okay? I just want you to know that. I look like I'm dying. And immediately my church begins to text me and say, all right, what's up? You have to come home now. And I said, no, well, you know, it'll be all right. It's not near as bad as it looks. But I'm excited about being here. And I was telling Pastor Lisa that, you know, God has spoken to me more in the last 2 years than he had in the last, in the previous 10. And I am excited about what God is doing. And so if y'all will hold on. Now, let me tell you something. I am very energetic. I am very charismatic. Might need some towels on the front row. Just so you know, I'm going to scream at you, I'm sure, before it's over with. And so, but hang on. Because let me tell you something. God's going to do something. All right, I am bubbling over, and I'm trying to contain myself because, you know, my wife tells me over and over, you know, you preach a two-hour sermon in about 30 minutes. If you'll just slow down a little bit, everybody can understand, and they won't need the interpretation afterwards. So we're going to try it that way. Now, the verses of Scripture that they have here at camp out of 1 Corinthians says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, and let all your things be done with charity. Now, I'm going to drop over because there's a mind shift that I want to take place in your life tonight. I want something to begin to shift in your life that begins to focus you on something that you've not seen before. Because before I'm finished tonight, you're going to realize that there's more in you than you think there is. And I don't care how much you think there is in you, there's more in you than that. Because the God that I serve believes in you right where you're at right now. The God that I serve trusts you enough to give you purpose and destiny right where you're at. Now you see, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. It only matters. Can I tell you the most powerful thing about you? The most powerful thing about you is not what you believe, but it's that you have the ability to believe. That's what separates you. That ability to grasp something that's out there, an idea, a concept. You have that ability to believe. And when you realize that with that ability, let me ask you something. What's it take to get saved? You got to believe in Jesus Christ, right? I mean, that's it in a nutshell. We like to make it all complicated sometimes. We like to drag it all out, and we can take you through all the verses of Scripture, but it breaks down to this: believe. Now, if you have the belief, the ability to believe for salvation, what else do you have the ability to believe for? You see, we walk in a generation, if we're not careful, we become powerless. Oh, we've got great ideas and great theology, and bless God, we can quote the Scripture, but there's no power to back it up anymore. What do you believe? What do you believe? Not what your mama believes, not what your daddy believes, but what do you believe? What is it that you believe about God? What is it that you believe about your purpose? What is it that you believe? So let's go to Ephesians for just a minute. It says, according to the eternal purpose, that means the predetermined purpose and thought, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is Ephesians 3, the 11th verse, 11 and 12. It says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Now, it says right next, it says, by the faith of him. Now, you see, we're taught we got to have faith, right? That's what we're taught. But this verse of scripture doesn't talk about your faith. It talks about his faith. Now, let me tell you what God has faith in. You. Right where you're at, right now, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what trouble, despair, anguish, or good things are happening in your life, God believes in you right now. He has faith in you. How we can be brave? Why? Because God believes in you. Right where you're at. God believes in you. Word of God says that he looks from the beginning to the end, declaring the end from the beginning. He sees it all. Can I tell you what? God wasn't surprised when you fell. God wasn't surprised when you did the wrong thing. God wasn't surprised when you made a mistake. He wasn't surprised when you cussed. He wasn't surprised. But the God we serve is so great and so powerful. You know what he did? He made a way in all of that with the destiny. Oh, destiny's great. We talk about destiny. Oh, I've got a destiny, and you do. You've got a destiny. You've got a destiny to fulfill. But can I tell you, there's something even greater than destiny, and that's the purpose that you've got, because that purpose is for right here and right now. It's not later on down the road. Can I tell you, you've got enough of God right now in your life to accomplish everything God's called you to do today. Oh, we're going to go places tonight and things are going to happen and God's going to move. But can I tell you, you've got enough of God right now to accomplish everything you're supposed to accomplish today. When tomorrow comes, you'll get a little more. But as far as today goes, you see, so often we tell our young people, oh, you've got destiny. I know they've got destiny, but what about the purpose today? What about that today? What are you supposed to be doing today? Can I tell you there is no power in darkness? Think about it. Let's do physics for just a minute. There's no power in darkness. You know what darkness is? It's the absence of light. That's all it is. You know where the power is? It's in the light. Guess what? You've got some light. You know what? We look at the world, and we're wired to be negative. I know we are. There's scientific proof that we're wired as human beings to be negative. But you know what? We can change that. Because let me tell you something. It is by his faith in you. You've got the power. You've got everything you need right now to accomplish everything God has called you to do today. Why is that? Because God believes in you. You see, it's not whether I believe in you or not. God believes in you. We have the ability to enter into a place, if you're willing to believe tonight, I'm going to take you through some scriptures and show you we have enough power to overcome the world. You know why we look at the negative things of the world and it's getting dark out there. It's getting rough. It's just, it's going to hell in a handbasket and whatever else you want to call it. Oh, it's just the shootings and all of this and all of that. And yes, it's terrible. But you know what the problem is? It's not another political decision. It's not something else that's going to manifest that way. It's going to be when the church says, enough is enough. I'm going to step in the gap. I'm going to make up the hedge. I have enough right now, right where I'm at, to change my world. You have enough. You don't need another preacher to lay hands on you. You got enough right now. Oh, it's good for preachers to lay hands on you. We're going to tonight. But you got enough now. I don't have to prophesy over you anymore. You've got enough right now to accomplish everything God has called you to do. Think about that for just a minute. The God of the universe that spun it all into existence goes, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you to handle everything I've got for you. You see, we talk about being brave. But you know what the issue is? Can I tell you there is a lot of verses of scripture in the Word of God that says fear not. You know why it says that? Because there's lots of opportunity to fear. Listen, when you walk in the things of God, there is lots of opportunity for uncertainty. Because somewhere along the way, we lost an ability. So hang on with me for just a minute. Acts 1st chapter, 8th verse. You're going to find a very simple truth here. You see, I was raised with the best of both worlds. I had a Baptist daddy and a Pentecostal mama. And so we were Bapticostal. And we had it all mixed in there. And it was a good thing. It was a good thing. And oh, I was taught about I'm one of those that have a heritage. My mama serves God. My grandmother served God. My great-grandmother served God. I mean, I can follow my heritage now. My daddy's side of the family wasn't so much. My daddy served God, and that was it. But on my mama's side, I've got heritage. So my mama serves God. My grandmother, who is still alive at 94, serves God. Still goes to church on Sunday and Wednesday. Still will tell you you're doing wrong when she thinks you're doing wrong. She don't back up a bit. My great-grandmother, the one we call Granny, she served God. It's awesome. It's awesome. And I was taught Pentecost. Woo! You get filled with the Holy Spirit. You speak in tongues. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. Oh, I was taught all of those things. But God began to deal with me the other day. Now, I don't know how God deals with you, but God deals with me. God's pretty plain with me. And he usually does it when I'm aggravated and frustrated. I don't know about you, but that's when God deals with me. My daughter, Tori, called me the other Wednesday. And she said, Dad, the battery light came on the car. And as she's talking to me, she said, oh, and it's hard to steer. And now the engine light is on. I said, pull over, you've thrown a belt. What a big deal. So we left services where we were at. We're just about done. Left services, went and picked her up, took her home. I looked under the hood. Yep, belt was thrown. It's no big deal. So I drive to Three Rivers, Texas, which is about an hour and 15 minutes from where she's at. I work all night because I work at night. Worked all night. Figured it wouldn't be that big a deal. I'll go tomorrow, which is Thursday. Now I got church Thursday night. I've been up all night Wednesday night. I'm just going to go and I'm going to throw that belt on there. Won't be a big deal. Well, when I get there, it was more than just a belt. The idler arms were all burned up, and the compression arm that held the serpentine belt tight, the bearings were actually rolling out of it. Okay, so it was more than just, and there was that much room to get this arm in. So, not only is it hot, it's Texas, okay, it's hot. Not only is it hot, it begins to rain. And I'm sitting outside at a convenience store. I am not happy. I've been to the parts house 3 different times because the guy that sold me the belt got the wrong one. I finally went the last time and said, you know, used to. Now, this was probably before your time because he probably wasn't 18. I said, this for your time. There was a gauge that we used to put the belts on, pull it tight, and you could get. He said, is that what that is right there? I said, yeah, that's what, you know. So can you bring me that? We've got the old belt here. I can, you know. And so, because he was doing it this way. He'd put his foot in one belt, and he'd put his foot in the belt I brought, and then you hold them up like this to see if they were the same. So anyway, so finally, at the end of it, he calls me back and says, will you come back here and help me find the belt you're looking for? So in Advanced Auto Parts, I'm walking down through the back, and I get the belt I'm looking for, and I'm getting there, and the problem is I'm running out of time. And I'm frustrated and I'm aggravated. And you know how it is? It's 105 degrees and it's raining, which makes it extremely humid. So I'm sweating all over the place. I do that anyway, but then it was really bad. And God wants to talk to me. Now, I am really trying to hold it all together. I haven't slept. We're running close to 24 hours now. And I have dropped at least one bolt 3 different times. And you have to pull the idler arms back off to get the boat back out. So it's not been a good day. And God decides he wants to talk to me. And I said, God, can you just help me with this first? Let me get this finished. We'll talk, you know. No, God won't leave me alone. So in my mind, God is bringing scripture verses. And finally I said, you know what? This will wait till tomorrow. And so I shut the hood, told the convenience store, please don't let them tow my car. And I went home. On the way home, God and I had a conversation because I was raised Pentecost. I spoke in tongues forever. I don't remember any other life than the godly life. I was singing at a gospel singing group at 8, surrendered to preach at 14, which was yesterday. So, I mean, if Lisa was, 10 when I started coming, then, but God took me to this verse of scripture. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Now, I'd heard all of that. It was good. Power. Power to raise the dead. Power to heal the sick. Power to speak in tongues. Power to prophesy. Power to do all of these things. But, and so what I'd done for years is just read right over this verse of scripture. But then God said, well, look at the rest of it. Why don't you? "And ye shall be witnesses." Doesn't say anything about speaking in tongues, does it? Not one thing. Doesn't say one time right there that we're going to prophesy, that we're going to lay hands on the sick. What it says is we're going to be witnesses. So God said, "What do you think?" Now, I don't know how God talks to you, but God just talks to me. I said, "Well, okay. So witness. What's a witness do?" Well, the only thing I can think of is some cop show. All right, that's all that I can bring to mind. And what do? They're wanting to see a witness that had seen something so that they could get some information, right? Now, we don't have a problem seeing things, do we? Some more than others. But we don't have a problem seeing life, whether it's relationship, whether it's struggles, whether it's strife. We don't have a problem looking at our life and going, wow. It's either, and I don't know about you, but sometimes, and normally on a dime, I'm really good, and then the belt gets thrown, and I'm really frustrated. And then we try to get it together, and it doesn't work, and I'm still over here and frustrated. But then everything works all right, and I'm back over here. Is that the way your life is? I mean, if we're not careful, our emotions take us from one swing of the pendulum to the other. Today you'll be fine, and in 5 minutes you get a message from a text person, or a person texts you a message that you don't care for, and all of a sudden everything that was good is now bad. We don't have a problem looking at the bad, do we? We see the bad. In fact, when my family gets together, all they talk about is all the stuff that's happened to me in my life. You see, falling down that hill was nothing new in me. I've got toes cut off of that foot right there because of the oil field. I have shot myself in the foot with a nail gun. Look, falling down the hill, that's a no-brainer. They said, "Are you all right? You all right?" Listen, I got up. That's a key point right there. If I can get up, normally I'm okay. But God began to deal with me. And he said, so let's combine those two. When the power of the Holy Ghost comes upon you, I'm going to give you the ability to see what I see. You see, until we come to the point that we can see something different, we're not going to perceive anything different. What's that mean? Your life sucks. I mean, come on. If we're not careful, that's what our life does. It's from one bad. What do we talk about? Bad event to bad event to bad event to bad event. I mean, when my family gets together, it's the tree fell and knocked me out. It's I shot myself in the foot with a nail gun. It's I cut my knee with a chainsaw. I stabbed myself with a filet knife. The list goes on and on. And they love to tell those stories. Well, to me, it's kind of negative. I mean, we all laugh. Ha ha ha. But all of a sudden, God began to deal with me because, you see, the Word of God says that we have the ability to see something different. Now, let's break that down. You have the ability to see something different because until we see it different, we're not going to do it different. Take you to Joshua, I believe, the 6th chapter, and what you'll find is the angel of the Lord came to Joshua, and what did he tell him? He walked out on a hill, and what did he see? Joshua saw that city all straightly shut up, I believe is the way the Word of God said. In other words, the gates were closed, the doors were barred, nobody was getting in, nobody was getting out, and what did God say? See, I've given you that city. The question is, what do you see? The question is, are you filled with the Holy Ghost that's going to let you see different? And if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, have you chosen to see different? Because here's the thing about God. God is so cool. You can have as much of God or as little of God as you want. You can. right where you're at. You can have as much of God or as little of God as you want. And God's okay with whatever you give him. That's the cool thing about God. You see, there's nothing you do that surprises God. God's already seen your life. What God said was, though, but I'm going to give them something different. You see, up until this point, if we're not careful, we see things just like the world does. Why? Because we rely on the world to tell us what's going on. Tragedy in Orlando. The list goes on and on. And what we do is we allow the world to say, this is how bad it is. And they try to come up with solutions. Just like you do in your life. Bad relationship, not getting along with your parents. List goes on and on. Temptations at school. The double life that you're living. You know that double life, one in front of your parents, one not in front of your parents? I know. Believe it or not, I was young once. I really was. I was young once. Yesterday. Thank you. Yesterday. You see, I did those kind of things. You see, in my family, now my cousins, they love the tobacco. They dip the snuff and they chew the tobacco out. But my mama, my daddy, said that was a sin for us. So as long as we was under mom and daddy's reign, guess what? We had to follow the rules. So we're in Campwood, Texas. We're holding a revival. My daddy was an evangelist. He was holding a revival right there where all my cousins were. And me and my brother and one of my cousins slipped off to the show barn. And we're sitting up on the bleachers, and my cousin hands it out. Well, my mama wasn't around. So you know what I did? I took me a big old dip of snuff, and I felt so proud. I said, big, yo, boy, I'm stud now. Hey, you got to get it where you get it. I mean, you know. And so I'm sitting on the end, and my cousin's sitting next to me, and my brother's over here. And we're talking, and we're spitting, and it's nasty, and whatever. But we thought we were cool. Up drives my mama. Now, my mama can't see my cousin, and my mama can't see my brother, but my mama can see me. Now, it's 100 degrees. It's the middle of July. We're sitting in the show barn. I've got this big wad of snuff in my mouth. And my mama can see me. So you know what I did? I swallowed hard. I did. Swallowed the whole thing, bless God. Woo. I swallowed the whole thing. You know why my mama was there? The revival was going so well that she had to come get us to move all of the pews out of the church and all of the equipment and set up in the yard because it was going so well. It's 100 degree weather. It's 5 minutes to the church. I am sick as a dog by the time we get there. Now, for those of you that know Bebopper, no mercy. All right? No mercy. Boy, get up out of that car. You can be sick later. We got to move these pews. So, in 110 degree weather, I'm picking up these pews. I'm so sick. I hardly just, you know. Oh, see, I know that double lie. Some of you live it well. You hadn't been caught yet. That's okay. You know what? Never, ever wanted another dip of snuff in my life. Broke me right then. See, I know about that other life. But you know what? I also know about a Holy Ghost that can let you see things different if you want it. You see, right there in that verse of Scripture, it says, when the power of the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you can be my witness. You can see something different. Now, let me ask you something, because we do a lot of praying. We do. We do a lot of praying. Oh, God. Now, depending on what age you are, what you pray about is, oh, God, do you see, God, I want him in my life. I do, God. He's the one, God. Or she's the one, God. You have no idea what you're praying, but you're hoping God listens. You really think you want that. And it may be God. I don't know. But, oh, we pray. And listen, even as adults. You know what we do? We pray that way. Oh, God, I need that new job. Or, oh, God, do this. Or, oh, God, do that. That's all right. That's the way we was taught. I don't know any other thing. Until God began to say, hey, let me ask you something. Wouldn't it be easier to declare the things in your life if you knew what was happening? Oh, You know, before seeing like God was, that's pretty cool. But now, I realize that I have the ability not to miss the will of God in my life. I have the ability not to have a prayer unanswered in my life. Because when I see what's taking place in my life, when I understand the purpose and the destiny of God, when I understand that today this way and tomorrow that way, when I begin to see those things because of the power of the Holy Ghost in my life, then what I can do is go, God, I declare I'm headed this way. And God, that door right there is where I'm supposed to go, and I'm going to wait right here whether that door is open or not. Why? Because I've seen that door open. I've seen the way God sees in my life. I've seen what He's declared in my life. I know what my future is, and I'm not taking that other door because that other door is not God. How'd you like to have that? How'd you like to have that in your life? That ability to so see. Oh, now see, I'm stirring some of the adults now. The ability to so see God in your life. That whether that door's open and that door's open doesn't matter because this is the door. And you know what? If it's not open now, it's going to be. And so instead of trying to go around, I'm going to stand right here because right here is the will of God. You see, we have a hard time with patience. We have a hard time with patience because, well, bless God, this door is open. Can't I go this way, God? Yeah, you can. But that's not the will of God. You see, you wonder why we can be brave and courageous? Why He says, fear not? Because when you see things different, why are we afraid? You see, if God really believes in you, and the most powerful thing about you is your ability to believe, then can't we choose to believe? I can know the will of God for my life. How'd you like that? Would you like to know the will of God for your life? I mean, a lot of you right now are desperate to know God. Now, you want it to go this way, or you want it to go that way, but you really want the will of God. You see, there's a God thing in you. Right where you're at, right now, there's a God thing. And that God thing won't leave you alone. And oh, you can try to hide it, and you can try to rebel, and you can try to do all of those things. But all of a sudden, God drops you in the middle of youth camp, and that God thing begins to stir. You know why it stirs? Because I've got a God thing in me. And the God thing in me stirs the God thing in you. And the God thing in you stirs the God thing in me. You know why it's important to go to church? So that God is stirred up in your life. You have the opportunity to see something different. Now, let me ask you something. How does God see your life? Have you ever thought about it? How does God see your circumstances, your situations, your purpose? Or better yet, how do you see them? Oh, some of you've got your plans all laid out. You do, and that's good. But did you remember to put God in the midst of it? You see, some of you carry an anointing. You do. And you can run from that anointing all you want to. But it's always going to be there. You can't run far enough away from God. You can't do enough bad stuff to get rid of that anointing. I don't care what anybody tells you. The Word of God says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. In other words, He is never, ever, ever sorry He called you. Never, ever. No matter what you've done. So let me ask you something. Do you want the ability to see the way God does? Because if you do, you can have it. It's not complicated. It's not some deep, dark secret that we've been hiding all these years. It's not that. You know what it is? It's simply going, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. You know, one of the things that I believe that we as kingdom people have lost over the years is our connection with the Holy Ghost. And we got lots of good theory, and we got lots of good revelation, but it never became a reality in our life because it was just good theory because we had never applied the Holy Ghost to it. You know why we're surviving? You know why we're picking up? You know why we're going on? It has nothing to do with how determined we are. It has to do with the Holy Ghost, period. So tonight, I know it's early in the week. I know usually it's Thursday or whatever before things really break loose. But why wait? Why wait till then? So the team is going to come back up. And I tell you what we're going to do. If you want the ability, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, if you want that, it's here for you. Some of you young people have been filled with the Holy Ghost already. I'm going to need your help praying for the others that don't. But I'm also going to need you to take a good hard look at your life, because have you used the Holy Ghost to see something different in your life? So I know it's going to be a little different. So if you want that, it's available. I'm going to ask some of the other ministry to come. And if you want the Holy Ghost, we're going to pray. Now, it's not complicated. We're not going to stand over you and go, come on, come on. No. It starts right in that point where you believe you can have it. God believes in you. God believes in you right now, right where you're at. Because of that, he's got a gift. It's called the Holy Ghost. And there's lots that comes with it. But the first thing he said about the Holy Ghost was, I'm going to give you the ability to see something different. So if that's what you want, I'm going to ask you to come. All right? And they're going to pray. And if nobody comes, fine. But if you want the power of the Holy Ghost, some of you need it stirred back up in you again. Whatever. Altars are open right now. We're not going to drag this out. We're not going to forever. So if you want that, you come on. Stand up. Everybody up. Come on, people. I know it's late. If you want the Holy Ghost, that's you. You come on. Come on. All right. All right, people. You other ministry, come on. I want y'all to start laying hands on them. Now listen, it's not complicated. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And then you allow God to move in your life. It's a matter of believing. It's a matter of saying, I believe my God wants to give me that gift, that power, that anointing. So that's what we're going to do right now. All right. Some of you young people, how many's filled with the Holy Ghost? Let's go there. How many's filled? All right. Turn around. I want you to begin to pray for those all around you. And we're going to lay hands on you. You lay hands on them. And listen, let the power of the Holy Ghost flow. In other words, speak in tongues. It's not hard. It's not complicated. All right? So here we go. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I speak now that you'll begin to stir up that Holy Ghost. Father God, that you'll infill them, that you will stir their heart, that your power, that your anointing will begin to bless them and move through them, that they'll begin to see different, Father God, that they'll begin to operate differently, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Stir it up, oh God. Stir it up, Lord, that he can see different. God, and he can see different, Lord. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Lord, we praise you. In your presence, God. Holy, holy.
Glory in God is what our hearts long.